Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The last year and a half and the conversations we've had with Jerry, and we'll continue to have those conversations on areas that need to be improved. He's been nothing short of fantastic in regards to giving us the support. I look at what we've accomplished on the international side. You know, you look at our R&D support, you look at how we're supporting our major league club and player development. You know, we're going to continue to talk as a group and find ways to improve. And, you know, we've been supported, and I'm confident we'll continue to be supported.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Chris Getz, and he is now running the White Sox. We know that that he was given that role in part, or at least ostensibly, because Jerry felt it was the fastest way for the Sox to be competitive again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that has been the case. I don't know that it was the fastest way to be competitive. You know, last year they produced the worst season ever in MLB history. You know, it seems like they made up that information. I'll be very curious to see how this works.
Well, right, it wasn't the reason why. I mean, it didn't work that way. It did not go the way that it was
portrayed to go.
Designed to go, the way that they presented it.
Yes.
But what's significant now is that the moves that he has made to acquire young talent, that young talent has now started to progress to the major league level. There's some encouragement, signs of encouragement we saw in the past week. You wonder about the ownership situation because they did make an announcement and it was significant. When you have Jerry Reinsdorf relinquishing some control at some point in time, as early as 2029, as late as 2033,
Four. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's going to be a lot sooner than people think.
4 to 9 years.
And a lot sooner than maybe that statement indicated. I think you're going to start to see some effects of the new Ishbia ownership group, or however you want to describe that, whenever they get around to finalizing these plans in the 78 and moving to the South Loop or designing a ballpark now with – the renderings have to include the Chicago Fire Stadium. You know, you got to add.
So they got, hey, they.
Where's my eraser?
Was you there know? Any a part of this timing? We asked that question earlier.
Well, that's
you
the question
you would
asked.
Consider it. Yeah.
And I think it's a fair question because a week ago, we're getting ready to discuss what Joe Mansueto did in investing $650 million of his own dollars to build a stadium. And then they had the social media video, which was hilarious, claiming dibs on the 78. I don't think the two things are unrelated. I just think it's human nature, because the White Sox coming out days later with an announcement that was as significant as the announcement was with Justin Ishbia, and what we just described with Jerry Reinsdorf, the transition of power and ownership, I do think they probably were related. I think the fire beat the Sox to the point of they're going to get shovels in the ground before the White Sox.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get shovels in the ground before the Bears.
They're going to get a building before the Sox get shovels in the ground, most likely.
I think so. And
what about the Bears?
Well, the Bears.
Well, they have their
building. They have really no excuse not to get going with Arlington Heights by the end of the calendar year if they can get through some of those approvals. But I think that's a complicated story as well. But I think in terms of the White Sox, yes, I think it's fair to believe and to wonder if the fire announcing what they did accelerated the Sox plans.
But, I mean, the Sox plans were already in play. We knew, you know, we talked to John Greenberg. He reported that this was going to happen. And as he said to us, when the Sox weren't necessarily in agreement with what his story was, he said that Jerry's not going to determine when he sells the team based on anything that I write.
Mm-hmm.
But he had that story already. This was already in the works. And we knew it because, as we have talked about, the Poland family is selling the Twins, and Ishbia was down the road with that deal. They thought they had their buyer, and then Jerry called him, and he's already doing stuff in Chicago with the White Sox. He's already one of the guys that is a minority shareholder, and so he encouraged him.
That's one of the best calls he's made.
Yes,
that's one of the best calls he's made recently. I think he deserves a compliment for that, because that shift and that inclusion of Justin Ishbia is something the Sox needed. They needed a jolt of something, money, enthusiasm, positivity, something to change the narrative,
hope.
Absolutely hope. And that's what we're seeing often on the field. And I think that's the question when you look and you zoom in now at this. We hear Chris Getz. He's worried about putting together a major league roster and building the minor league system. How close are the White Sox to being a .500 baseball team? Are they one off season away? Are they two off seasons away? I mean, how, when we talk about this aggressive spending and this, you know, acting like a big market team should, which they haven't in years, are the White Sox realistically two seasons away from being a .500 team in baseball?
They'd have to start spending some money.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I think so, but I also believe, you know, when you look at what they have coming at AA Birmingham and the young pitching talent, yeah.
They got seven guys coming off of Tommy John surgery, so they won't be available next year. That pushes that out another year. You know, I mean, as much as I like the storyline and you feel hope and all the rest of it, they signed a pitcher on Sunday morning and had him Uber to the stadium from Milwaukee, and he pitched three innings.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Well, it's like, the second time this year they've signed somebody in the afternoon and pitched him at night, or signed him in the morning and pitched him in the afternoon.
So I just wonder if we're not getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, I don't think anybody's getting ahead of themselves. I think this season is what it is. It's a developmental year. I do think it sets up. This is the way you want the rest of the Sox season to go. They're not going to. You want them to avoid 100 losses. That would be great. I don't know if that's realistic. You want them to head into the offseason with some momentum about young players that are starting to trend in the right direction. And you want them to head into free agency with the financial wherewithal to make an impact, to sign two or three players that would have an immediate impact, whether they're starting pitchers, relievers, or positional players. You want some veteran talent to come and help.
So I think this, we got a lot of people want to check in, and we'll get to the phone lines in a second, but I think it's a really interesting idea to contemplate, like, would anyone else have hired Chris Getz? He got hired because he was there, and proximity to the owner seems to be what the greatest qualification was. And does his long-term future, is he secure in his job beyond the current owner?
I would think that right now the answer would be yes, because as much as that, what you just, the cynical viewpoint or whatever.
Was that cynical?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, because you're dismissing what he's done since he got the job by referring to how he got the job.
Well, I'm not being cynical about that. That's how he got the job.
No doubt about it. But I don't think that dwelling on that based on what he's done since he got the job is the point. To me, the broader point is that he has brought in some interesting qualified people into the organization.
Yes.
He's begun to replenish the farm system with talent that I think you understand why they made some of these deals. And I think he's bought himself a little bit more time. Regardless of how he got the job, I think that is, there's no way you can deny what you said. It's true. He was down the hallway. He was convenient. He was cheap. He was cheap. But he's done a decent job so far, I think. Okay. Now, that's my opinion. Other people may differ. You may have a different opinion, but I think he's done enough to stay. If you're talking about transfer of ownership, I think he's probably earned the right to be given a chance.
Well, I would say that when Ishbia takes over, maybe he gets another year to prove himself
based on the fact
that he's here and what he's done. Think about what Tom Ricketts did. When they came in, they bought the team, they had a general manager that was there, and they stayed with him, tried to figure out the game and how it worked at that level. And then they went out and hired the best guy.
It's a great comparison. And that's all I'm saying is that I think he's probably has earned the right to prove himself if a new owner takes over.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to suggest that he can get rid of Chris Kett. They've done a good job. Bannister coming here was a really good hire. Hopefully Kyle Fuller is a really good hire. Is it Ryan Fuller?
Ryan Fuller, yeah, the director of hitting.
Hopefully that's a really good hire. I don't think there's anything. I think they've increased or improved some of the baseball people making decisions.
Would you include Venable?
I like Venable. Mm-hmm. I do.
I do too. Yeah. I think he's made a good impression and with players, and he's got a good reputation around the league.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of decisions I think have probably earned him the right to prove himself to any new owner.
But I also know that there are a lot of people that were working here in Chicago for the Cubs that have become general managers and team presidents in other places that it seemed to be doing very well for themselves.
One of them was in Detroit over the weekend, Scott Harris.
Exactly correct.
You know, that was the,
That's what I'm talking about.
That the Sully, Paul Sullivan of the Tribune wrote about winning the Theo Cup.
Yes, that was hilarious. That was very funny.
It was Jed and Scott Harris, two guys who worked for Theo Epstein, now running their own teams and doing quite well.
Yeah, and Boston, same thing. You
Craig
know.
Breslow.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a good point.
All right, 312-644-6767. Mike is in Geneva. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
I was just thinking about the Sox and the stadium and all that. I just keep thinking of Oakland. I mean, wind back the clock 10 years, and the complaint was A's are terrible, lowest payroll in baseball. They seem to do all right, but it seems like they're always squeezing for a new stadium. They get out of Oakland. I feel like Chicago and Oakland, unfortunately, have some comparables here, except we're Chicago, right? Why are we stuck in this same kind of situation? That seems like the biggest parallel, whether it's the Bears and the Raiders or it's the
how are they doing? They've got the new stadium on the way. They're stuck in Sacramento. And they're
players complaining openly about this situation.
And they're not, and their situation isn't working.
It's dire.
But it looks like it will in the future. But they're not doing great. They're not any kind of an organization.
That's not an organization you want to model.
No.
No.
Charlie is listening online. Hey, Charlie.
Morning. It's good talking with you guys again. Hey, you know, my biggest thing is the White Sox. I've been a fan for a long time. I was excited in 2005 when they won the World Series. Hmm. But other than that one little blip here, not too distant past there where they were decent, I can't remember the last time this team has actually been good there. And now you want a stadium. You don't want to spend the money before you get the stadium. Well, myself as a fan, I don't want to spend my money on a team that doesn't want to try to compete and win, that doesn't want to try to do the right thing. I get the stadium thing. I understand the stadium thing, but the, you know, they built their stadium, what was it, in the mid 90s, I think it was. Why not renovate that stadium?
Yeah, that is a question worthy of an answer. And they, I suppose the answer would be that they don't like the part of town they're in.
I think that's probably a fair conclusion to reach.
Yeah.
I do believe that Wright Field is, it's not a bad ballpark. It's something that if you committed to renovating the ballpark and building up the area, I think it would be a justifiable idea worth exploring. But the Sox have pivoted. I think that they are committed to trying to come up with a new plan to present at the 78. And it sounded like from Brooks Boyer that that is going to be priority one and probably the next big headline out of the South Side.
Frank is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Frank.
Morning, guys. Enjoy your show.
Bless you.
I'm an old school guy. The philosophy now seems to be build a new stadium, they will come. And years ago, and I'm talking about 50s, 60s, 70s, it was build a good ball club and win and they'll come.
Yeah.
And in this age of discretionary spending, if you're going to want taxpayer money to pay for a stadium, but not, and then expect fans to pay big dollars to come and see you play and don't put a good product on the field, you're double penalizing the fan. You're going to pay for a new stadium, tax dollars for a new stadium, build it, but you don't put a, you want them to come and see, but your product's bad. That seems like you're paying twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot to it. But I would say that it does feel like Jerry Reinsdorf's operating off of a game plan that is years old.
Yeah,
that is not a modern game plan. And that, and I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just saying the idea that you know you got them to build you a stadium by threatening to go someplace else. He seemed to try to follow that path when he showed up at the mayor's office in Nashville. It just it doesn't resonate in the same fashion. And I know a lot of people that were really strong Sox fans that have gotten away from it.
Sure. No doubt it's been difficult to be a Sox fan in recent years.
Yes.
The losing starts to wear people down.
Last year was a train wreck.
Last year was intolerable.
Oof.
But I do think that it's possible in this day and age. And maybe separate yourself from the White Sox for a second. You can't operate on parallel tracks. You can pursue a stadium project because it's more lucrative and it's something that you have decided to do as an organization and not neglect the product on the field.
Yeah.
Whether regardless of the sport, it's not something that is one or the other. It doesn't have to be either or. It has to be both. It has to be both. If you're not paying attention to both your ballpark project and your ball club project, well, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, but don't you feel that more attention is being paid to the ballpark issue than to the ball club?
It would appear so. Yeah.
Just based on what happened last year, and as much as we appreciate the recent run of form, I think that they're still the worst team in the American League.
They still are.
And
yes.
They had the worst season in modern baseball history.
You're squinting to see progress,
yes.
But you're seeing
yes.
it. You yes. can see it if you look hard enough. But you're right. It's all relative. It's
exactly.
all relative to
exactly.
what where you are and where you put yourself. You let yourself sink to the depths to being the worst team in Major League history, and now the climb up begins. And we're in the midst of, you know, it's headed in the right direction, but you're still very much below sea level.
It's fascinating to me to see all of the teams that have struggled that have already fired their manager. I mean, that was – so how do you put what happened last year and with the Pedro Grifol, well, it's not his fault, so we're not going to blame him, but then we're eventually going to replace him with a guy who's never been a manager, who is just a convenient hire, and they didn't want to give money to the guy that would have been the better hire, And then they came a hair away from actually – they started winning. It actually worked.
Yeah, it actually worked a little bit.
But, you know
– the Pirates and the Orioles, what they did this year, I think that they acted quicker than the Sox did last year. And there are a lot of reasons
Colorado.
For that. Colorado as well. They fired a very popular guy who was not doing a very good job. So, yeah, there are teams that, for various reasons, acted quicker than the Sox did. Boy, I don't want to revisit last year.
No, I don't either, and I'm glad that we feel like things are moving differently. And they had a great weekend, and I don't believe I'm being cynical about it. I think we're just looking at what's happened and where they're at and what, hopefully, new ownership will eventually mean whenever that actually happens. But we got Biggs time next. We're going to get to the Chicago Bears. We'll talk to Brad Biggs. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
His name is Brad. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man. You talked about some of your takeaways from last week. Interesting to see a series of practices. And I'm just curious, Brad, the Bears seemingly have money to still improve the roster if they wish to do so. And yet there's a report out from the NFL Network that Nick Chubb, the running back, one of the guys who's been mentioned as a possibility in Chicago, is going to sign today with Houston. And we know that J.K. Dobbins, another guy, he's visiting other places. Are the Bears, Are the Bears in need of or in the market for another running back, or is that something that, we've talked about more than they've talked about?
Well, I think they've done more homework on it than we have, but I would definitely agree that we've probably talked about it more than they have, if that makes sense. Like, they've studied it. They've looked at the available guys. They've taken a close look at their roster. I would guess when minicamp wrapped up last week at Hallis Hall, there was probably a meeting involving the coaches and the personnel side with those two groups getting together to discuss the roster, to discuss fits, to take a look at each position. Is there a possibility there's a move or two in the next couple weeks? I suppose it's possible. That they don't have a ton of room, though. They're I think, sixth from the bottom right now in available cap space. If you take a look at some of the projections that are out there, they cleared some room with the extension for Joe Tooney. But it's not like they're sitting on a boatload of cap space. They've got cap space right now to complete the signings of their rookie class, to handle roster moves that will be required in season, to have space for guys on the practice squad. Those players count against your salary cap as well. But I never thought that Nick Chubb was somebody that would be a fit here, considering durability issues and wear and tear on a guy that, you know, when he was healthier in Cleveland was a really good running back. But those days are gone. A lot of people talk about his return from the knee injury and kind of overlook the fact that he suffered a broken foot at the end of last season. Like, didn't perform real well when he was on the field last year. I didn't think Chubb was ever going to be a guy for the Bears.
So, Brad, also this morning, the news around the NFL, the Packers are releasing Jaire Alexander, the cornerback, who has missed a lot of time over the last five seasons with injuries, but still, when he does play, it's at a high level. I'm just curious, what will the market be for him, and might the Bears be among the teams interested?
Yeah, you know, a team with a cornerback need and cap space could be a consideration for him. But you're talking about a guy that's missed 20 regular season games over the past two seasons, 10 games last year, 10 games in 2023, only played in four games in 2021. So that's a guy who's, you know, you've got serious durability concerns there, and that's probably going to affect his marketplace a little bit. You would think on, you know, okay, how much is he looking for? Well, what's he worth with, you know, with the durability questions that would come with him? I don't see him as a fit for them. I think they would be in a situation where they want to, you know, see what they've got in some of the younger guys on the roster. Like, this is a big season for Tyreek Stevenson. Let him go out and show what he can do. And Alexander's a guy who had some, you know, big games against the Bears in his career. Interception in a game, I think it was in 2019. He had a couple picks against them in 2022, so he has played well against them in his career, but I don't see Jaire Alexander being a fit for the Bears.
I'm curious, Brad, when you look at where they're at right now in the offseason program, obviously they are going to have another week of practices, OTAs here, but they're concentrating on special teams and on younger players, and the veterans, for the most part, will not be back until you get ready for training camp at the end of the summer. So I'm just curious, what do they hope to get done here, and how will they? I guess what I'm asking is, the only coordinator they brought back is the special teams coordinator. Are they going to be changing anything? Are they just going to be underlying what they have done before on special teams? What, if any, new elements of their special teams will we see this week?
Well, I just think you're trying to prepare the guys on your roster who are going to be battling for spots on the bottom third of that roster, which are, those are players that make up, you know, core elements of your special teams units. Prepare them for training camp, like, to be ready to compete, to know exactly, okay, you know, these are the techniques we want to emphasize in punt coverage here. This is how we want to set up these blocks on kickoff return. You know, you want to put them in a position so when they get there in July, they're ready to roll. Roster turnover is a thing that happens every year. It's more significant when you've got a new coaching staff. Yes, you've got the same special teams coordinator, but they've lost some guys on the roster. Not a lot, but they've definitely lost some guys on the roster that were key special teams performers for them, guys that logged a ton of snaps for them on special teams. So there's jobs that are open. There's jobs that are available to be won. Now, is it filled by a backup linebacker here, or could a reserve safety have it, or what are they going to get from tight ends in terms of contributions on special teams? There's just a ton of questions, and then that's the area that's affected most by injuries, right, in the regular season and training camp and preseason, you name it. There's a trickle-down effect to special teams, and you've got to have, you know, so many different guys trained to, okay, you got to be in this spot. I know you've been working in one area on kickoff team, but you got to know that the details of that job, and you got to know the details on the other side here of that job, because you're just moving guys around to get the right fit. And so that'll be part of the process this week, I would imagine. You know, it's sort of optional for veteran players, so we'll see what the attendance is like. But guys, the rookies and guys that are going to be feeling maybe a crunch to make the roster, you would expect they have pretty strong attendance from players that you would put in those groups.
Brad, how surprised were you by the ESPN report today that Aaron Rodgers was actually the third choice of the Steelers? And what impact do you think that he will make on a team that plays the Bears on November 23rd?
Well, you know, hopefully for Rodgers and the Steelers, he's healthy, right? That's the one thing you gotta look at with Rodgers. You know, can they keep him on the field? Because he's an older guy and he's been dinged up a little bit here lately, but obviously they're basically almost their entire off-season program. I believe they have mini camp this week, so he'll get a crash course in the Steelers offense. Now, Rodgers' experience, he should be able to get up to speed, but in terms of timing and learning his receivers and things like that, I mean, that requires time on task. It can be expedited a little bit with a veteran, but you've still got to get that chemistry with some of your guys. And it was musical chairs, and there weren't a lot of guys still involved in the game. So Rodgers was kind of the I guess last choice there. I'm interested to see how he does. Statistically, if you just look at some of the numbers, he was okay for the Jets last year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the train wreck that some people would describe. I mean, statistically, in a lot of areas, he was superior, I think, to Caleb Williams. He wants to go out on a higher note, obviously, than what transpired for him. Is a member of the New York Jets for the past two seasons with the week one injury, obviously marring the 2023 season for him, knocked him out for the entire year.
Yeah, that is just, it's just hard to imagine that working out. It's just the idea you got the coach that has never had the losing season. I'm just saying, he's always done well.
No, I know, but I think for you know, 3 or 4 years now, we've been saying, this is the year that
things
get really difficult in Pittsburgh, and then you look at it, and it's mid-November, and they're 2 games above 500, and they're in the mix. So Tomlin has a way of certainly getting the most out of that roster. At least he's proven that the past couple seasons.
Brad, before I let you go, could the decision at running back, aside from the injury concerns with Chubb and who knows what with Dobbins, could it be a nod in favor of, hey, Kyle Manungai is a guy you trust being your second running back?
Well, I think he's a guy you trust. You trust the competition you have between him and Roschon Johnson right now, and pairing them together with DeAndre Swift. Like, you trust that you've got a core of players that, with an improved offensive line, particularly on the interior, that you're going to be able to run the ball effectively. And Manungai is a player that Ben Johnson singled out last week. Obviously, they're still going to be pretty happy with a rookie this early in the process. You know what I mean? I think they might not be great there, but let's see what the guy can do. Let's see what Roschon can do. Let's see what Swift can do. Let's see how they can run the football when they've got a center who's particularly good in run blocking, when they've got an all-pro left guard now, when they've got a new right guard that the coach feels strongly about. Like, they're paying Jonah Jackson a lot of money. So let's see kind of how it comes together. It's not all the running back. Remember, it takes a village to run the football.
Maybe they like the short yardage back from Detroit, Williams. You know, maybe he's a guy they might bring in later.
Yeah, maybe. It's the ultimate, like, after punter, it's the ultimate position where you can go out and get a guy if you need a guy.
Street guys work. Yeah. Great stuff, Brad. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, a football man for the Chicago Tribune. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes a decisive move with a quarter of a mile to go, and he takes command of the Belmont Stakes. Sovereignty angles out to try and run him down. It's a rematch of the Kentucky Derby as they come to the eighth pole, and here comes Sovereignty. Sovereignty goes right by Journalism once again, leaving absolutely no doubt who the best three-year-old in the world is. Sovereignty and Junior Alvarado in the
Well, yes, indeed. That was the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. The third race of the Triple Crown featured the second race following the Derby, in which Sovereignty not only ran, but ran against Journalism and beat Journalism straight up. So it it was great to watch it, but it ended up basically being a match race between those two horses, and no excuses for Journalism. Don't know if he tired or what it was, but he just got run down by Sovereignty, and Sovereignty won. And you can't help. First of all, thanks to Eddie Olchek.
He called that, right?
He called that. Yep. He gave us four horses, and they finished 1, 2, 3, 4. So you would have won $40 if you played the Superfecta.
How much money did Eddie win doing that? Do we know?
I'm sure he did very well for himself. Mm-hmm. He also, you win $13, was it, for the trifecta he gave us, just over $13. Hmm. So I did cash tickets on both those wagers, but I ended up, I tried to throw out Sovereignty and Journalism a little bit, and I played Baeza across the board, so I ended up losing some money on that horse, but all in all, I made some money on the day. But thank you to Edzo for the way that he brilliantly broke down that race. And I came away just feeling like mad at Bill Mott because he did not run Sovereignty in the Preakness. He felt that the horse would have been impacted by it, and maybe the horse would have been. But that horse beat Journalism straight up twice. If he had done it three times, you'd have a Triple Crown. You'd have, you know, you'd have a certain amount of legacy, of history. It would have helped the sport, let's put it that way.
You feel deprived?
And I do feel deprived, David. I felt like that just wasn't good enough for me.
That's too bad.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Dustin, do you feel deprived? I know you were
slightly
watching it.
But now I think we can hope, and we haven't heard yet. It's a while off, but maybe they get together again in the Breeders' Cup. So and you get Baeza in there again. So this was also on top of what you just mentioned.
When's
which is all awesome. I want to say it's September is the Breeders' Cup, but this was also the same try at the Derby.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Price is much better because of
explain
field.
That.
It was the same
trifecta.
First, second, third.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So it was the same in both races, which is kind of interesting. But you feel a little deprived. It's more the sport is what was deprived than me personally, right? But, I mean, good-looking horse. Really good look. It was a great stretch call, great broadcast, you know, at the end there. NBC does a better job than Fox for what it's worth presenting their big races. I thought Fox did a job compared to TNT, like TNT did tennis over the weekend.
God,
I thought they did
tennis.
That went on forever.
They
went on forever.
5.5 hours.
Yeah.
They did a great job, though. Like the broadcast, the graphics, the whole crew. I thought it was just really
great. The women's final was fantastic, and the men's final was fantastic. So congratulations to the French Open. That was a really riveting couple of tennis.
If you haven't watched Watch, and if you're like looking for like a summerish sport, if you're not into just baseball, right? You know, the NBA and NHL are going to wind down here before the end of June. Like, there's some pretty good you know, older guys trying to hang on in tennis and a new group of young guys that you can really get yes. behind. So gearing up to, again, another like September event, the U.S. Open, there could be some good tennis matches across summer that kind of interesting.
I love the different, you know, the different surfaces in tennis. That is so much fun to see. Like the French Open is the clay, so you see the red surface. The you know, Wimbledon is grass.
And that's still coming up, right?
And that's still coming up the end of the summer. I love the different surfaces and how it impacts the game. I'm pretty miserable at tennis on all surface. I'd like to get that out there.
Haven't played in years.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me too. But are you into pickleball?
Nope.
Yeah. A lot of people are going
there. It's popular, though.
Between
a lot of people like
table
it.
Tennis yeah. and
keeps tennis. People in shape. It's not as strenuous. It's probably right. It's a lot of fun, competitive. Yeah, there's professional pickleball. You know who's into pickleball is Chris Chelios.
Is he really?
He does pickleball commercials.
Wow.
I haven't seen those.
No.
He's into everything.
All right. We've got John Heyman. Our friend John will join us next. We'll talk some baseball, Mully and Hall on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.